Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. Yes, indeed. So, as I mentioned about an hour ago, here's how this works. I thumbed through a Merriam-Webster's dictionary with 75,000, more than, 75,000 definitions, and at random set my finger down on a page. And the idea is that I pick a word, and I have a little time to think about the word, and then tell you something in my life or some anecdote or something that comes to mind regarding that word. So I've had good luck so far with the words that I picked. They've been things like chlorate and defile and ultra. Today, could not be more appropriate, and yet I'm going to throw you a curveball. Because it would be too easy with this word for me to go where I always go. The word, and I promise you this, the word is bottom. B-O-T-T-O-M. Bottom. Which the definition that I picked had to do with to furnish with a bottom, to reach the bottom of something, or to reach a point in a decline where it's halted or reversed. And then usually used with bottoming out at that point, bottom out. And then, of course, bottom has other definitions. As a matter of fact, the first official definition of bottom is an under or supporting surface, including buttocks. So if you know me, and I guess if you've been listening to and watching this program for years, you know me. You know that bottom is very important to me, especially in that context. I wrote and performed in an award-winning one-person show called The Miracle of Long Johns that had something very particular to do with my own bottom. So if you want to go see that, you can go on YouTube, you can watch it, you know, and hopefully if you have a theater and you want me to bring me there and do that, I'll be very glad to. So I'm not going to tell that story. And I'm not going to do any tushy-related, excremental-related things. Because I even did that when I had the word defile. And I wandered into a defiled bathroom in, I think it was Kohl's, right here in Greeley, Colorado. Oh, it makes me smile to think of it. So no, bottom is not going to be that kind of story today. It's going to be very different. I'm going to take the high road for once and tell you that the first two things that occurred to me when my finger landed on that word. The first one had to do, believe it or not, just with Monty Python and hearing the way they said the word bottom, that English way of saying, oh, my bottom. There was some bit where a newscaster was interviewing little 8-year-old or 5-year-old kids who were played by grown Monty Python members, and the John Cleese narrator asked them a serious question, and one went up to the microphone and just bottom, because they're being naughty little school children. So that's the first thing that came into my mind, and I do love Monty Python, and haven't seen Python in many, many years, and probably should get back to watching some of those old episodes. But no, I'm going even higher level than that. Excuse me. Although, I am still staying within the realm of British comedy. Because I also thought, for some reason, the first thing that came to mind, or second thing that came to mind when I saw the word bottom, was the William Shakespeare play, A Midsummer Night's Dream. And I'm not being hoity-toity, and I'm not being like, oh, no, he doesn't think I'm an ass. He doesn't think I'm a derriere. He thinks of William Shakespeare. I did think of A Midsummer Night's Dream, the William Shakespeare comedy, which ordinarily I kind of sit through and I'm like, I am not, even though I'm a theater critic, even though I love theater to pieces, even though I generally enjoy to an extent Shakespeare when I'm watching it, I'm not one of these bard-ophiles. We had one of them, and he was fascinating, a wonderful guest, on Dave's Gone By a few years ago. He is a professor and lecturer at Columbia University, and forgive me for forgetting his name, but he did this cool documentary about artifacts of the King John and the Queen era Shakespeare's time of like 1600 to 1615. It's a great series. If you go on davesgotmy.com, you can find who it was. Forgive me for not remembering his name. But, you know, personally, me, I mean, when I was in high school and college, I preferred Molière. Molière was much more gettable, much funnier, because he was often doing farce with stock characters, and it was easy to follow. The language, translated by people like Richard Wilbur, was not out there and abstruse, and you had to look up every other word when you had the Washington Square editions of Shakespeare plays. And I know I must be offending Jeff, my colleague at UNC, who has the office next door to mine, and who usually listens to the show, but go figure, I haven't seen him on today. And he's a big Shakespeare, he's got a Shakespeare quote posted on his door, I think from Macbeth, of all things. Oh no, I said Macbeth! Gotta turn the potato around three times and spit. Tui! There we go, one more time, potato. So there are people like that, who really, and the more you get into Shakespeare, of course, the more rewarding he is. And the more depth that he really does have. But, you know, I don't have to be dragged to Shakespeare plays, but I kind of have to be dragged a little bit to Shakespeare plays. I like Shakespeare, and I'm a theater critic. I should love him to pieces. But most of the time, I go, and at parts I'm interested and into it, and at other times I'm like, verbiage, 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 all is verbiage. And there have been, obviously, exceptions. A good Hamlet, even if it's 4 hours long, is a good Hamlet, right? And then I've enjoyed certain Shakespeare films. Titus was very watchable from, speaking of Julie Taymor before. But the Shakespeare comedies usually, they're amusing. They're kind of enjoyable. They generally don't make me really laugh. They don't get me in the gut the way modern comedy does. There's wit there. There's sometimes sight gags. There's visual stuff. And yet I'm still like, I'm laughing to be laughing with the rest of the crowd, or because it's like, oh, I'm smart. I parsed through the language to understand what they're saying. And that's amusingly funny. Not the big gut belly laugh stuff. And I've seen quite a few Shakespeare plays in my time to be able to say that, including the Shakespeare comedies, the As You Like It's, the Much Ado's About Nothing, right? And the Twelfth Nights and all of those. So imagine my surprise. 30-something years ago, I'm still a student in college at NYU. So I'm still trying to soak in and learn everything. And I'm grateful. This is before cable had 180 channels or 700 channels. I think cable TV was there already, but in its somewhat nascent form. And it was A&E, the Arts and Entertainment Channel back then, was showing a Shakespeare production done by the Public Theater, Joseph Papp's Public Theater. He was still alive back then, in Central Park. So when they did free Shakespeare's in the Park. And they had one that they did in 1982. And so, okay, I don't know if it was probably taped in 82 and then shown a while later. So I might have still been even an undergraduate in college, like my first or second year. And that was also when I was seeing theater as an adult for the first time and becoming addicted to it and running out of my Wednesday morning physics class, jumping on a train to stand on the TKTS line and see Broadway theater. So I was trying to soak in as much theater wherever I could, as much as I could. And A&E showed this 1982 staging from Shakespeare in the Park of A Midsummer Night's Dream. 3 hours long, but you're watching it on TV, and there's commercials, and it's TV, so it's intimate, right? And it's okay. And it's got William Hurt playing Oberon. And William Hurt was already in his kind of like, I can't be bothered to really emote mode. Some people found it really interesting, his take on Oberon, and that he was sort of otherworldly in the way he was speaking and behaving, and in his kabuki-like gestures. So that made him truly a fairy king. Me, I'm just like, okay, wow, and I'm sure the girls think he's good looking. Fine, William Hurt. And let's see, who else was in the weird part is that 33 years later, I don't even remember Christine Baranski, who got the best reviews out of the show and supposedly the funniest thing. I would need to see it again, except it hasn't been released on DVD. You can't find it again. But apparently she was really, really fine in the show. I don't remember that, okay? And Deborah Rush was in there, and I vaguely remember her because she was kind of cute and she had a scratchy voice. But no, that wasn't, none of that was the reason that I stayed watching. I'm like, okay, I'm watching Shakespeare. This is kind of amusing. And I'm a little more into it than usual because it's television. Because I see their mouths moving up close, and I'm getting more into their character than I might be in a big Broadway theater where they're, you know, 300 feet away from me. And then they get to the comic bits of A Midsummer Night's Dream, which are usually, they're supposed to be funny, right? And in that particular case, with Bottom and Snug the Joiner and all those folks, when they get to the scene where they do Pyramus and Thisbe, you know, in this love story that takes place, speaking of Donald Trump, with two different people on different sides of a wall, if I tell you, whenever that was on A&E, I would run to catch that scene. It runs about 5 minutes. But on the floor, in tears, running down my face. And these were not great Shakespearean, Ian McKellen-type actors. That wasn't the public theater thing. And by the way, this I didn't realize it. This production was directed by James Lapine, who is a director who is, of course, the co-author and director of things like Sunday in the Park with George, for gosh sakes. So yeah, that James Lapine, he's directing it. But the actors doing the comedy bits and Bottom, the guy who turns into a donkey, there's the scene of Pyramus and Thisbe. It's a big black guy, I don't know the actor's name, who has to dress up as a girl. The two other, I don't even remember the name of the actors. You can find them on IMDb from this Shakespeare production of 1982. But if I tell you, it is raucous, PG-rated, raunchy slapstick. But if I tell you, I have never, before or since, laughed as hard at Shakespeare as that one scene. And the rest of the play, the rest of Midsummer Night's Dream, entertaining, watchable, parts of it are kind of dull, parts of it are at least interesting and hook you into the story. But when they are going at it in Pyramus and Thisbe, and you're watching Bottom do, and all of them, I don't want to give it away, because hopefully somewhere on the web this is findable. Or a lot of libraries apparently still have it on VHS tape. If anybody's still got those kinds of players, you can watch it. And you have to wade through about 2 hours or so of Midsummer Night's Dream to get to it. But when I think of Bottom, the word Bottom, I think of Bottom taking part in that Pyramus and Thisbe scene in that Much Ado About Nothing from Central Park in 1982. And, you know, the way I laugh at Family Guy, the way I used to laugh at Monty Python, or episodes of South Park, or The Simpsons, or Bill Irwin and David Shiner in Full Moon, that kind of from-the-gut laughter, which I cherish and prize more than almost anything else in the whole world. That laughter that goes here and just physically incapacitates me to where, you know, my wife has to remind me to breathe. That's, you know, Bottom. That's hitting a wonderful kind of bottom for me. And that is Dave's Big Dictionary for this Saturday, February 10th, 2018, here in the neighborhood,